Inspector General, that allegations were that Mr. Connor, Mr. McHenry, a few other people, including the victim, were essentially partying, doing drugs at an apartment that, or at a residence that belonged to actually a friend of Mr. Connor's, but that friend wasn't there. Mr. Connor was in charge. For all intents and purposes, it was Mr. Connor's resident. And they were all doing drugs and being stupid. And Mr. McHenry had brought a pistol, and they were all at various times waving the gun around. At one point, Mr. Connor was, I think, actually twirling it around on his finger like a cowboy. I think at one point the victim herself actually had the weapon. And then when Mr. Connor was playing with it, it went off and the bullet struck the victim in the head and killed her.
That happened on New Year's 2012, according to court records. Mr. Connor stayed in jail until the time that he entered his plea. And if you can talk about how that was arrived at.
I had been in communication with his attorney, Earl Gray, and we talked about the case a lot. And Mr. Connor was, from the get-go, really almost from the moment of the shooting, very shortly thereafter the shooting, very cooperative with law enforcement. He kind of walked him through exactly what happened, was very truthful with law enforcement, and had always been nothing but remorseful for what had happened. We knew from some other information from the victim's family and that kind of thing that the victim thought very highly of Mr. Connor. They were, Shoei said, he was good to her. And given the fact that Mr. Connor had been in jail for over a year, normally in a situation like that, if we're going to do probation, we would do jail time as a condition. But in this case, because he'd already been in jail for over a year, we didn't put any additional jail time on him because, for all intents and purposes, a year in the county jail is equivalent to, you know, up to 3 or 4 years in TDC. And so, obviously, it is a homicide. We wanted to have a hammer over his head for as long as we could, which is where we arrived at the 10-year probation. That's the max. That's the longest you can do a probation.
And if you could talk about some of those conditions, to as long as Mr. Connor abides by those conditions, he'll stay out of prison.
Yes, sir. He's on what we call a substance abuse conditions or substance abuse caseload. Do any substance abuse counseling that's required by the probation department. That could include inpatient treatment, could include outpatient treatment, whatever they tell him. He's also subject to random drug testing for the length of his probation. He's had no contact of any sort with the family of the victim. He obviously cannot commit any new offenses or partake in any kind of illegal drug use or anything like that. He's got to do, I can't remember off the top of my head, how many hours of community service. I want to say in the neighborhood of 200 hours. It'll be in the hundreds of hours of community service. Off the top of my head, I believe that's about it.
I was also told that he's going to assist the prosecution in the case against Mr. McHenry.
Yes, that's also a condition. He has to give truthful testimony in the case against Mr. McHenry, should that go to trial. And he actually has already done that. If Mr. McHenry's case goes to trial, he'll have to do that. But at the time he pled, we did lock him in on some testimony just about where the gun came from and all that kind of stuff.
If I read the charge correctly, Mr. McHenry is accused of felony possession of a firearm after being convicted of a felony.
That is correct.
Message that goes out as far as a firearm use is concerned?
Oh, just, I think the overall message is you know, drugs and firearms never, ever mix. You know, it's a sad deal in that you've got a situation where, you know, Mr. Connor, I think, had some genuine feelings for them. He considered her a friend, and I think she considered him a friend. And because they were doing drugs and being stupid with a pistol, you know, he took the life of somebody that he thought a lot of and considered a friend, and that's something that he's going to have to live with for the rest of his life. And obviously, he's a now convicted felon for the rest of his life as well. So.
Anything else that I missed that listeners should know?
I think, you know, a situation like this, it's very easy to look at it and say, well, you have a body, you know, you have a fatality. Why is this person not going to prison? But in making a decision like that, there's a million different factors that go in. And at the end of the day, on this case, all the evidence from the time of the offense forward was that this was an accident. There was nothing intentional about it. And any time you, number one, have an accidental crime where, number two, the defendant, the offender, is completely cooperative and genuinely remorseful from the get-go, they get credit for that. And obviously the fact that the offer might have been different had he not already been incarcerated for a year. But that was a... Because if we would have given him time, say we would have given him a low pen sentence, you know, two or three years, he would have been either already parole eligible or pretty close to parole eligible. And then he's out. But this way we have a hammer over his head and we get to basically watch him for a much, much longer period of time than we would have had we just given him pen time on the front end.
And I'm not wanting to get into any sort of point-counterpoint. Some might consider, even though the gunfire was accidental, the guy still intentionally picked up the gun.
Absolutely. And there's no question about that. And that's a fair point, but there's a difference in our mind and in my mind between doing drugs and stupidly playing around with a gun, as other people were that night, including the victim at various points. You know, everybody was kind of engaged in that same conduct, and then accidentally shooting somebody, that's not the same as a murder where you intentionally point a weapon at somebody and pull the trigger with the intent to injure them or to take their life. Those are very different, and that's why the law treats them different. The one situation is called murder, if there's intent, and there just was no intent in this situation.